So we are going to be chatting to Dr. Marissa Brower, who is chairperson of the Society for Industrial and Organizational Psychology. And we're going to be talking about how Corona could shape the workplace. Marissa, good morning. Thank you so much and welcome all the way from the Northwest Province. how's things in the Northwest Province today?
Very good morning, Jeremy, and thank you very much for having us. It's a nice, weathery, wet northwest on this side, so we're very thankful for the rain on this side, but all is well and good on this side.
Yeah. Nice. That's nice to hear. Marissa, earlier on, I had a voice note in from one of our listeners who said that he's very upset. He works in a warehouse environment. Their employers have only seen to it that hand sanitizers and masks are provided for the management and the office staff, but nothing for the workers at the coalface who are working in the actual warehouse. What is your response to that?
I think it's very important support of our president's call that we must all invest in the health and safety of our employees as well as the employers. So it's their duty as employers to extend the care towards their employees. And it's very important to put some business strategies in place within the workplace and also communicate and not take this very in terms of the situation that we face very lightly within the organizations. It's the organization's responsibility to look after the employees within the workplace.
Right.
And it's not only in support of the president, but it's also by legislation very important. So it should not be taken lightly at all at companies and organizations.
Right. Now, employees are suddenly faced with difficult decisions, especially concerning how to balance the employees' right to a safe work environment with the health of the business. What would your advice be then?
Well, it's very important to note that we should consider the strategic impact of introducing this change and the developments of the COVID within the workplace and also the panic that it can create. And it's very important for employees to manage this anxiety and to create structure and communication and security for the employees within the organization, and to also see and revise what workplace plan is in place within your organization to utilize possible situations in which you can allow workers to work remotely. And of course, in certain workspaces, it's not plausible for individuals to work remotely, and therefore
Right. There
is certain strategies that needs to be put in place, like designing the workplace or redesigning the workplace and also adapting the workplace for the circumstances. So it's very important for the employee to benefit from this and the design within the workplace.
Okay, my guest is Dr. Marissa Brower. She is the chairperson of the Society for Industrial and Organizational Psychology, and we're really chatting about how the coronavirus is shaping the workplace at the moment and how employers balances the health of the workers and the health of the business. And it's a very tricky balance to obtain. I have a caller that has come in right now, Marissa, and we're going to Laurie in Grassy Park. Laurie, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Good morning to your guests.
Yes, we're listening.
Good morning.
I'm in the construction industry. I missed the first part of the program, so this might have been discussed. And what's worrying is that one person gets screened on site that is positive, by law the whole site should be closed because there's always going to be some sort of form of contact. Where does the employee stand, number one? And number two, bearing in mind that about 80% of our workforce are labor-only subcontractors. So do we just give in and say, look, there will be no income, or will government set up some sort of fund to be able to assist us?
Okay, Laurie, thank you so much for that question. Is this the question that you can answer, Marissa?
Yeah, I think part of that question is that it's definitely the responsibility of the employer to look after the employees, and the Employment Equity Act obviously prohibits medical testing, but the Disaster Management Act overrides that, and it's very important to implement non-invasive medical testing and also have a secure space in which, if there is a person that has been tested positively, that person then be taken into quarantine in terms of that. But also part of that question is that NetLag is currently busy with and in support of employees, and also proposes response teams that is going to be created for the labor, and they are going to link up with national teams to help and make sure that testing is done and that employees are following legislation and precautionary measures regarding this.
Now, I just want to take you back to the president's address on Sunday. As a professional working in the sphere of health and wellness, especially in the industrial sector, do you feel that he said and did enough to reassure South Africans? Well, what is your takeaway from that speech?
My takeaway definitely is that it was a good example of how we should execute as leaders within organizations in a calm and effective way, that he created a structure on a micro level and how this structure then will be executed through his ministers, and also creating security and basically having a proactive approach for all South Africans and for all people within workplaces in South Africa. So, yes, I definitely think that he reassured us by creating structure and security and being proactive in his approach, and also the ministers in doing their part in executing so that for all within South Africa, that we can invest in health and safety for all people within South Africa.
You know, part of the conversation I feel many times is neglected, and that is the part that deals with the wellness, the health and wellness of the employer, the owner of the business. We're always talking about employee health and wellness, and that's very important. The worker needs to be taken care of. But how do we deal with the employer, the owner of the business? How do we support that owner of the business from a psychological and organizational and industrial perspective?
Yeah, definitely. Industrial psychologists is also seen as healthcare practitioners, and they can be very well utilized within the companies and looking after not only the employees but also the employer. So aside from the World Health Organizational guidelines that needs to be followed by the employers, it's also important to get the healthcare practitioner, like the industrial psychologist, on board to help implement changes and also help support. And it's very important that as every employee needs to have self-care and look after themselves, every employer should also practice the same process of self-care and keeping abreast with what is going on in the world around, and also in terms of, for example, NetLag and the support that they receive then from ministers and from the government. Mm. So that's very important. And also attract the healthcare practitioner that you help in a definite way with redesigning the workplace, and also if there's adaptation going on, that how you can help that leader leeway and manage that situation, because of course it can be a very emotionally draining situation for change to happen, and be a support then for that leader in that position.
Dr. Marissa Braz is the chairperson of the Society for Industrial and Organizational Psychology. And we're talking about how the coronavirus pandemic could potentially or is changing the workplace. Are companies ready to allow large parts of the workforce to work from home? Your response to that?
Well, of course, it remains uncertain over whether companies are, in fact, remote work ready, working from home, remote work. And this is obviously an ideal and prudent time to test whether or not we are ready for remote working. And it's very important that we advise organizations to revise their work plan and see how much work within the organization can be done remotely, if there's technology, resources, and business process designs available for this. And, of course, we need to take into consideration our unique South African context and account for unique settings through creating business contingency plans that identify continuity plans that identify contingencies and strategies to effectively, you know, deal with aspects. For example, load shedding, people do not have Wi-Fi perhaps to do their work remotely. So in effect, that will negatively impact the whole idea about remote working. But if this is the case, and as we know that most large organizations will only be able in part to allow remote work, and therefore we need to think of workplace adaptation and also workplace redesign and think of things like flexible work arrangements, reducing breaks and shift works within the companies itself.
Okay, Marissa, we kind of out of time, but I would like to ask you to stay on with us for a couple of minutes, if you can, after the news. We have a caller that has come through that wants to ask you a question, but I also want you to kind of expand on what kind of strategies and contingencies businesses can use to cope with the changing workplace and scenario now that we have this dreaded coronavirus. Dr. Marissa Brouwer is the chairperson of the Society for Industrial and Organizational Psychology, and we're talking about how the coronavirus, COVID-19, is changing the face of the workplace and the work environment, and also the relationship between employer and employee. It's not always about, yes, the employee is very important, but we also have another human being in the equation, and that's the employer, the owner of the business. Marissa, thank you so much for staying with us. I have a caller on the line. It's Ralph from Constantia. Ralph, thank you so much for your patience. You have a question?
Yes, my question is that what I'm hearing at the moment is fantastic for big business, but it is typical of Nedlac because they only in small businesses where the jobs are created. In a small business, you employ exactly the right number of people that you need for your business. And I'm hearing nothing about small business and how they can be treated in this drama we're going through. It's no use talking about at home. I run a small business manufacturing. My number of people working there are exactly what I require.
And how many people are there?
I can't have people go at home. I've got machines. So, you know, let's get down to what is always deemed to be the salvation of South Africa's economy, being small businesses create jobs. And I'm hearing nothing like that other than this agile business. Nedlac.
Okay.
Doesn't solve our problems at all.
Okay, Ralph, thank you so much for the question. The tone could have been a little friendlier, but I understand, the anxiety behind the question there. Dr. Marissa Brouwer is the chairperson of Society for Industrial and Organizational Psychology. How do you respond to Ralph's call?
Well, thank you very much for that. And I think it's most small SMEs that face with this insecurity of what should be done, and then people that need to stay at work. And there's definitely few policies that you can put in place based on the World Health Organization. And some of the things that you can put in place is to see how you can adapt your workplace. For example, including shift works, flexi time, or reducing breaks in between, and also making sure that your workplace is health based on healthy and you know, health and safety, being a secure workplace within the workplace. So I think there's definitely things that you can definitely put in place for your employees. For example, redesigning your workplace, make sure that, you know, there's a 2-meter separation of staff, effectively utilizing, like I said, flexi-time and shift work.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that there's a very good hygiene control within your workplace. And if there is, for example, a case of someone that has, you know, COVID, that there's measures put in place to accommodate that person and work on a case-by-case basis for the best route to work forward in terms of that.
Marissa, just talking about health and safety in the workplace, obviously there needs to be compliance from business owners and huge companies. But in the case of small business, sometimes compliance can be a bit of a problem. How do we respond to that in this age of coronavirus, or at least for the next 3 months? So what do you think needs to happen in order to get compliance up to standard in those small and medium enterprises where health and wellness may not be such a big priority for the owners of those businesses?
Mm-hmm. I think definitely it's important to, like I said earlier, that employees in those businesses should not take this lightly. So there should be good communication and what the steps will be that will be taken within the workplace. They should be created an awareness in a calm manner, so people would be informed of what is happening within the world around us, and also what the strategies will be that's going to be put in place within the organization. And also, like I said, have a case-by-case basis and make to ensure that it's important to consider individual employees' rights and to guard against panic and basically safeguard also against discrimination within the workplace. So, and the Disaster Management Act also stipulates that if needs be, that there should be a non-invasive medical testing that can be right. done within organizations yeah. and also connecting with the government if cases like that exist.
In closing, Marissa, in terms of strategies that needs to be formulated, etc., what kind of strategies are we really looking at? Because we are in a crisis situation. It didn't catch us off guard. We kind of expected it, but it did come sooner rather than later. So some people were caught off guard. So what would be the best strategies to implement in the workplace from an organizational and a health and wellness and a psychological point of view?
Yeah, of course, it's very important to, first of all, we must invest in the health and the safety of all employees within the workplace, comply with the policies that we have and also the relevant legislation that's put in place at this stage. Keep track of your employees and if needs be, non-invasive medical testing, but also make sure that if it happens that there's a lockdown, to see what type of technology resources and business process design you have in place for if remote work should happen. And also, if that cannot happen, remote work, it's very important to include healthcare practitioners like industrial psychologists helping with the redesigning of a workplace and also to managing that anxieties within the workplace. And of course, it's important to also note that with anxiety, it brings a lot of stress, and stress can ultimately have an effect on a person's immune system. So creating awareness and also thorough communication on the policies, the processes, and what will be done, very important. And then also executing some of the strategies like the World Health Organization put in place for us to utilize within the organization. For example, keeping a 2-meter distance, make sure that there's sanitizer all over the company, and people need to wash their hands thoroughly. So those are some of the strategies that you can definitely put in place. And I think it's important for employees to know that there is healthcare practitioners and they do have expertise. So they should really tap into that expertise and help them to redesign this workplace.
Okay. We're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Marissa Brouwer, thank you so much for joining us all the way from the Northwest Province. En ek hoop julle kry sommer nog baie reën.
Nee, baie dankie, ons waardeer dit. Thank you so much for the time. And yes, just in closing, I would like to just say, I think now is a very good time to look at each other in terms of humanity. So reach out if you've got expertise and if you, for example, have people out there, for example, all the people that cannot at this stage maybe go out and buy groceries, reach out and be kind to each other,
right,
and for the sake of our humanity. And yes, reach out to each other and show that humanity. That's
yes, and show that you care. And there's it's very interesting that you mentioned that, because it's something I was going to mention just before I go off air this morning, is that in Canada, a couple of Facebook groups have been started, and it's all about caremongering as opposed to scaremongering, and it's really there to encourage communities to look out for each other and to help one another. So thank you so much for that, for those last words there. Thank you so much, Marissa.
Yes.